ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यम अधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 In Panchadashi, we are seeing the portion where Vidyaranya Swami makes it very clear that samsara is not caused by external world, nor is it caused by anything else. It is the perception of the world obtaining in her thoughts in the mind, which causes samsara. To make it very clear, he has been giving different examples. And in the verse number 33, last class we saw how when we go through the dream experience, definitely there is no experience of the external world. Even though external world is not experienced, even though external world is not at all there for the person who is in dream, still there is a person goes through suffering, dream suffering. So what causes the dream suffering? Suffering is there. So suffering is there, but what causes the suffering? Even the external world is not even there. For a person who is in dream, still why there is suffering? Which means suffering is not caused by the external world. That is the lesson we understood last class. So it made very, very, very clear the waking state experience, what we experience in the waking state, the time, the space, and all the people we associate with, their behavior or things, the external situations which seem to be desirable or undesirable, the so-called paths of opposites which we go through, really speaking, nothing is responsible for our sorrow. That's why in Tamil it is said, Nandrum Thidum Pirartharavara. That is repeated. Nothing comes because of anything else in the world. So we saw, let us reread the 33rd verse. Asat ्यपिचबाह्यार्थे स्वप्नादो बध्यते नरः समाधि सुप्ति मूर्च्छासु सत्यप्यस्मिन्न बध्यते. So बाह्यार्थे असत्यपि, even though the external world of objects is not there for the person who is in dream. Asatyapi means even though it is not there. What is not there? Bahyarthe. When the external world of objects is not there, still naraha badhyate. Still a man is, human being is bound. Bound means he goes through samsara. He have become subject to parts of opposites and limitations. When? In dream, etc. Okay. Samadhi Supti Murchasu. When a person is in samadhi, or when he is in deep sleep state, when he is fainted, Satyapi Asmin. Even though the world, the external world is still there, what happens when you are fast asleep? External world is still there. When you are in your faint, external world is there. When you are in samadhi, external world is there. Even though external world is there, still a human being is not bound when he is in samadhi, when he is in deep sleep state, which means then there's no, well, the mind is inactive, there's no perception, there's no cognition of the external world. The world is, which means the world, external world, which is always there, whether it is experienced, but it is not experienced, world is not responsible for samsara. It is the mind. When it is functional, then when there's a perception of the world takes place, that is when samsara happens. So give two examples, don't forget. When we are going through dream, even when the external world is not there, for a person who is in dream, still the person, the mind is functional, the person goes through samsara, dream samsara. Even he is in deep sleep state, or when he faints, or when he is samadhi, the mind is non-functional, passive, then the external world continues to be there, still the person doesn't have samsara. Which means, what is that which causes samsara? It is the mind. That is made very clear in this 33rd verse. Okay, 34th verse.
Duradesham gate putre jivatyevatra tatpita vilambhaka vipralambhaka vakyena mritam matva praroditi.
So, is pita praroditi. Pita praroditi. Praroditi means cries. Praroditi means the same. Prakarshena roditi. Praroditi. Who cries here? Father cries. Pita praroditi. Praroditi means the father is not simply crying. The father is extremely sorrowful, highly sorrowful, is grieving extremely, and that's why he is crying, extremely grieving. That is the, what is actually expressed by this prefix pra. He cries extremely, being sorrowful, remaining sorrowful. Extremely sorrowfully is crying. Praroditi, pita praroditi. Why does he cry? Because atra duradesham gate putre. When the son has gone far away to another place, duradesham has gone to a far off place, of a place which is very, very far away, and he has gone very far away, but does he live? Yes, he still lives. Jivati eva. In jivati eva, when he is still alive, the son has gone far away, he is still alive, still the father is crying extremely sorrowfully. Why? Because mritam matva, the what causes his grief? Mritam matva, thinking the son is dead. Thinking the son is dead, son has died, the father is crying. Why? Vipralambaka vakyena. Just taking into account some passerby's words. Vipralambaka vakyam means some passerby's word, just a rumor. He just heard it, he died, and he is crying, not knowing the fact. What is the fact? He is not dead, he is still alive. But what is father's knowledge? According to father, the son has died. How does he have this wrong knowledge? Because he has taken some rumor mentioned by some passerby. Vipralambhaka vakyena praroditi. Example is given here. This is what? How this father's cry, the father's sorrow over the death of the son is unnecessary, is meaningless, has no legitimacy. Similarly, our sorrow, our grief, our samsara also, you know, actually no legitimacy. So we'll see the next one. We have to see the 35th verse today. Mrute pitasmin. Mrute pitasmin vartayam ashrutayam naroditi. Mrute pitasmin vartayam ashrutayam naroditi. Atas sarvasya jivasya bandha krinmanasam jagat. Mrute pitasmin vartayam ashrutayam naroditi. Atas sarvasya jivasya bandha krinmanasam jagat. What he says? See, mritepi tasmin, even if the son was really dead, mritepi tasmin, suppose the son was really dead, the son died really, but he did not know. Mritepi tasmin, vartayam ashrutayam. If that fact was not known, even if the son was really dead, suppose if he did not come to know of that, ashrutayam vartayam, if he had not heard that his son was dead, okay, if he has not heard that son was dead, then naroditi. If he does not know the son was dead, then still he cannot cry, does not cry. Ashrutayam vartayam, when that news was not heard by him, when the news is not heard by him, na roditi, he does not cry. So even the son was really dead, still the father does not cry if he does not know that he was dead. But if he, even if the son did not die, but if he comes to know that, if he come, he listen, hears a rumor, he is dead, then still the father cries. Which means, what is the reason? What makes him cry? What makes him sorrowful? Ataha sarvasya jivasya bandhakrin manasam jagat. Sarvasya, therefore. Ataha is very important. Therefore, he gives some summed up what is the ultimately, what is the cause of samsara? What causes the human bondage? Sarvasya jivasya, for everyone, for everybody in the world, manasam jagat bandhakrita. It is one, so manasam jagat means what? The world, the internal world, privatized world, one's own world internally, obtaining the internal world, obtaining in the form of thoughts, is called manasam jagat. Okay, the manasam jagat, the internal world, obtaining in the form of thoughts, that manasam jagat alone, bandhakrita, that alone causes bondage. Manasam jagat eva bandhakrita. Bandhakrita means that which causes bondage. Bandhakrita. So what causes bandham karoti iti bandhakrita? What is that which causes the bondage? Manasam jagat, mental world. Mental world means what? Internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts. Therefore, that alone causes samsara. For whom? Sarvasya jivasya. For everyone. Irrespective of the person is educated or uneducated, literate, illiterate, man or woman, rich or poor. For every human being what causes the sorrow, what causes the bondage, what causes the sense, this limitation is this manasam jagat. Is it clear? Vijnanavado bahyartha vayatyatsyadiheti chet. Vijnanavado bahyartha vayatyatsyadiheti chet. Nahridhyakaramadhatum bahyasyapekshitatvatah. Bahyasyapekshitatvatah. So here, vayartyam, bahyartha vayartyam. Vayartya means vyarthata. Bahyartha means external world of objects. So bahyartha vayartyam. So vijnanavadaha. There is a vijnanavada. So the vatas the vijnanavadi says, say, there is a system of philosophy, a school of thought called Vijnana Vadaha. Vijnana Vadi is a philosopher, and a philosopher belonging to this, a given school called Vijnana Vadaha. And that philosopher, the Vijnana Vadi, has an objection. He does not accept this. What is that we say? External world is not at all responsible for anyone's sorrow, samsara. And the example was given how even when the external world is not there, when a person's mind is active, functional, when he is experiencing dream and he has dream samsara. And even when the world is there, still, when the mind is non-functional, there's no samsara for him. So examples now we understood very well. But now, Vidyaranya Swami presents Vijnanavadi's objection. So Vijnanavadi is a philosopher of a given school of thought called Vijnanavadaha. According to him, this statement, the bondage is caused by manasam jagat bandhakrita. It is the internally obtaining world, the privatized world, obtainment of thoughts causes samsara. That he objects that fact. What he says, let me see that before, let us see that later on. Hridi akaram adhatum. Hridi means in the mind. Please see the second line. Hridi in the mind. Akaram adhatum. To assume a form in the mind. Bahyasya apekshitatvat. Bahyasya apekshitatvataha. Apekshitatvam. See, apeksha means need. Apekshitatva means necessity, need. How can there be internal world? How can there be internal world assumed without the external world? That is his objection. So, bahyasya apekshitatvat. The external world is required. External world is necessary. External world is needed for assumption of the external world in the form of thoughts in the mind. Akaram hridi akaram adhatum. Even in the mind, for the external world to be assumed in the form of thoughts, there must be external world. Therefore, we cannot say the external world is not responsible for bondage. That's his argument. Suppose then external world will be of no use. Bahyartha vayartyat. External will be of no use. If samsara is caused only by internal world, the private world, the internal world in the form of thoughts, then external world is not all necessary. Not only that, without external world, how can there be corresponding internal world? There must be external world. So, bahyasya apekshitatvatme, apekshitatvataha means, as there is necessity for the external world, in order for the internal world to be there in the mind, in the form of thoughts, there must be external world. Otherwise, external world will be of no use. Therefore, we cannot say only the internal world obtaining in the form of thoughts causes bondage. External world also contributes for bondage. That is his argument. Okay. And here, so Vidyaranya Swami, why does he present this objection? It is not Vidyaranya Swami's objection. Vidyaranya Swami presents the objection of a Vijnanavadi. And why is this objection given here? Because the word pramanam means instrument of knowledge. Pramanam, prama karoti iti pramanam. So that because of which knowledge is possible is called pramanam. So the instrument of knowledge is pramanam. So the pramanam, the word pramanam is defined. There is a definition of the expression pramanam. But the definition of the word pramanam is not the same. The different systems of philosophy have their own definition of pramanam. So different schools of thought have their own definition of the expression pramanam. And still, this definition of pramanam is discussed the very definition itself is definition of pramanam itself is not very clear. Then anything based on pramanam also cannot be clear. Therefore, this debate on this pramanam The definition of pramanam is discussed, and this discussion is not an ordinary thing, it's an important one. For example, the Veda, the whole Veda, the entire Veda is taken as a Pramanam. And Veda Shastram, not only does it serve as Vedanta, serve as a means of knowledge of the truth, apart from the nature of reality, apart from the reality Brahman, Atma, etc., to know that Vedanta serves as a means of knowledge, the Karmakanda of the Veda, the entire Veda also serves as a means of knowledge of other things such as heaven, punyam, papam, narakam, etc. Shastram talks about. How can we understand that there is heaven, there is hell, and as punyam, there is papam, there is a punarjanma, etc. For that, there is no pramanam other than Veda. And all these factors which are discussed in the Veda Shastram, which means Vedic statements, Vedic sentences which serve as valid means of knowledge. Because when we take Vedantic Vedic statements as means of knowledge, then even though heaven etc. is not provable, even though it is neither disprovable nor provable, even though it's a matter for belief, still we believe because Veda says. So these statements, which are statements of fact revealed by the Veda, even though the factors such as heaven etc. cannot be proved nor can be disproved, but Veda says that there is heaven, there is punarjanma etc., punyam, papam etc. So these Vedic statements pertaining to these factors such as heaven, hell, punarjanma, punyam, papam etc., this question is, how should we accept these statements pertaining to heaven, hell, etc.? How should we consider them? It is simply an imaginary expression, imaginative expression, or a casual expression. How should we consider it? Here, it is not an ordinary thing. We can't take it for granted. We have to definitely make a decision. It's very important to make a decision. That whether it is a valid source of information. The Veda's status of being the Pramanam itself is dependent on this. In the sense, because Veda states all these things. Anyway, so when we understand, when we talk about the non-duality of reality, Advaitam, Advaita Jnanam, so there the word Pramanam means a valid means of knowledge. So according to Advaita Darshanam, according to the vision of non-duality of reality, Advaita Darshanam, a vision of the fact according to the vision of the fact of non-duality of reality. The word pramanam means a valid means of knowledge. So I am saying advaitam, a vision of according to the fact, according to the vision of non-duality of reality, because the vision of non-duality of reality is not a school of thought. Please remember carefully. I've gone out of the expression, the shloka mantra, the verse here to explain certain things. The vision, the non-duality, vision of non-duality of reality is not a school of thought. It is a fact. A school of thought is a contention which is subject to differ from mind to mind. It is subject to differ from person to person. Whereas a fact cannot, should not differ from person to person. Fact must be the same for all the people, either understood or ununderstood. So, advaitam, a vision of non-duality of reality. So, non-duality of reality is vision, is not a school of thought, which means a fact. So, according to the fact, the vision of the non-duality of reality, pramanam means a valid means of knowledge. What is the definition given? There's a beautiful definition given. Anadhigata abadhita artha bodhakam. Anadhigata abadhita artha bodhakam pramanam. Please understand the definition of pramanam according to the vision of the non-duality of reality, a fact, not a school of thought. What is the definition of pramanam? Anadhigata abadhita artha bodhakam pramanam. Let us understand this sentence first. Anadhigata abadhita artha bodhakam pramanam. Pramanam kim? Pramanam ityukte kim? What is pramanam according to Advaita darshanam? According to Advaita darshanam, pramanam means anadhigata abadhita artha bodhakam. So anadhigata means not ununderstood. Ununderstood. So that which cannot be known through any other means of knowledge. So a pramanam, a means of knowledge, is that which reveals, which brings to light something. A means of knowledge is that which brings to light something which cannot be known through any other means of knowledge and which cannot be negated also. Abadhitam, which cannot be negated. Oh, it's not there. It cannot be negated. At the same time, artha bodhakam. Artha bodhaka means still it reveals something. So pramanam is that which reveals something, which brings to light. Artha bodhakam. Artha bodhakam means illumines an object, illumines something. Artha, there is an object of knowledge. Artha bodhakam means a means of knowledge is that which illumines something. And that something which is illumined is not negatable by anything else. It's not negated. Abadhitam. Not only it is not negated, it's also not, it cannot be known through any other means of knowledge. For example, light, if we take the light, is an object of knowledge. it cannot be negated. It is, light is, now eyes serve as means of knowledge of light. Eyes reveal the light. Eyes arthabodhakam. So our eyes bring to light the light. And this light cannot be negated. Oh, you can't say light is not there. At the same time, it is cannot be known through any other means of knowledge. It cannot be known through nose, it cannot be known through ears, or it cannot be known through skin. Anadigatam. I'm going to give a simple example. Similarly, here, Shastram serves, Veda Shastram serves as means of knowledge. Means, what is, you cannot be negated. What is revealed by the Veda Shastram cannot be negated. So Veda Shastram does create knowledge. Create means Veda Shastram does contribute for the knowledge, rising of knowledge. Arthabodhakam, Veda Shastram, Vedanta Shastram does contribute for the rising of knowledge, Arthabodhakam. And what is known, you know, it contributes the rising of knowledge. And that knowledge, that object which is known, I mean object in the sense, what is revealed by the Shastra cannot be negated by anything else. Abadhitam. Not only that, it cannot be known through any other means of knowledge. So, anadhigata abadhita arthabodhakatvat vedasya pramanyam. Veda has the status of being the means of knowledge because Veda does bring to light something, and that something which is brought to light by the Veda Shastram cannot be negated at all. Not only that, and that cannot be known through, arrived at through any other means of knowledge. Please remember, anadhigata abadhita arthabodhakam pramanam. So pramanam does not create knowledge, does not produce knowledge. Please understand, pramanam does not create, produce knowledge. Pramanam contributes for the rising of knowledge. And that knowledge cannot be gained through any other means of knowledge. And what is known through a given pramanam cannot be negated by any other means of knowledge. Therefore, so what is revealed by the Veda? What is known through Veda cannot be known through any other means of knowledge. No other pramanam can negate what is revealed by the Veda. Therefore, Veda is a pramanam. Veda Shastram is a pramanam. It is a valid means of knowledge. That's why we always say, even though Veda is not scientific, Veda does not contradict science, because science cannot disprove what Veda says. And here we have our own different systems of philosophy, the different schools of thought. So Purvamimamsakaha, Nayayikaha, Sankhya, we have different schools of thought. And they have their own stand. According to them, they add one more aspect to this definition. Not only pramanam is anadhigata abadhita arthabodhakam. It also means saprayojanam. Saprayojanam means pramanam. Saprayojanam means what is revealed by this pramanam must be of some use for us. What is revealed by the pramanam must be of some use, must be useful. If what is revealed by the pramanam is of no use, then we cannot take that as a pramanam. So pramanam, they add this one more aspect. Not only anadhigatam, not only abhaditam, arthavathu, arthavat bodhakam, arthabodhakam, but also maybe saprayojanam. Saprayojanam, what is revealed by the pramanam must be of some prayojanam, must be of some use. Therefore, the usefulness of what is revealed, what is known, is the third aspect added as a condition for something to be a pramanam. So, you need to know all these things. Remember all these things. Now come to this next verse now. Is it clear out what has been said is clear or not? Not only arthavat, not only anadhigatam, not only abhaditam, not only arthabodhakam, saprayojanam also. What is revealed, what is a given thing which is known through a given pramanam should not be known through any other pramanam. And then it shall be negated by any other pramanam. And it must be of some use also. So saprayojanam means it must be of some use. So a usefulness of what is revealed, what is known, is the aspect taken as a condition for a pramanam. Now we'll see this. What is at the 36th verse? In the 36th verse, what we read now, the Purapakshi, the person of other school of thought, he takes saprayojanatvam, the usefulness as the condition required for pramanam. For something, if something serves as a means of knowledge, means, and what is revealed by that means of knowledge, what is known through the given means of knowledge must be of some use. That is the third condition. That's the next condition. Okay. Suppose if that, okay, the object, what is revealed, what is known through a given pramanam should be of some use. If this condition is accepted, what will be the consequence? What will be the result? Okay. That we have to understand. See, there's twofold dvaitam we understood already. Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam and Jeeva Srishta Dvaitam. Here, the Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam, the perception of duality, the perception of the world of duality, the knower known experiencer experienced duality is Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. And this dual, the world of this perception of duality, the duality is brought to light by our sense organs. So the world of duality, the knower known experiencer experienced duality is dvaitam, this duality is Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. Because knower is not, knower is Ishvara's creation, known is Ishvara's creation, then manifestation. Therefore, the knower is manifestation of Ishvara, known is manifestation of Ishvara. This knower known division, which is empirically real, objectively real, relatively real, the word, this duality is Ishvara Srishtam. It is Ishvara's manifestation, creation. And this is, how do we know this? The Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam, the world of duality, how is it known? The duality being there, duality being empirically real is known how? Known because of the sense organs. Our sense organs alone, we come to know of duality because of sense organs. And this knowledge of duality, world of duality, knower known duality, which is illumined, brought to light by sense organs, is not useful for humanity. Is it useful or not? Simply knowing that there is knower, there is known. Knowing this, knowing that there is world of duality, knower known duality, which is Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. How do we know? Through our sense organs. So our sense organs serve as means of knowledge of this world of duality. By knowing this, what is the use for humanity? There's no use. We'll see. So Vidyaranya Swami says, we experience pairs of opposites. We experience pleasures, we experience pains. We go through pairs of opposites. And our experience of pairs of opposites is purely because of the Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. Our experience of pairs of opposites, our experience of pains and pleasures, our samsara is caused by the Jiva Srishta Dvaitam, not Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. So samsara is caused by Jiva Srishta Dvaitam, not caused by Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. Simply using sense organs as means of knowledge, we have the knowledge of the duality, which is Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. But samsara is caused by Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. Therefore, Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam is not useful. Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam, the Lord created duality in terms of knower known duality, which is known through sense organs, is of no use, is not useful. And this duality, not saprayojanam, it is aprayojanam, nishprayojanam. Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam is not useful. It is nishprayojanam, aprayojanam. And this is brought to light or revealed by our perception through sense organs. Therefore, here, the Purvapakshi, what does the Purvapakshi say? Here the Purvapakshi conveys in this verse, we do not take this pratyaksha pramanam, the sensory perception. Pratyaksha pramanam means sensory perception, to be valid means of origin. He says, we cannot take this sensory perception or direct perception, pratyaksha pramanam, as valid means of knowledge. And Ishwara's Krishna Dvaita also cannot be accepted as a fact. So Ishwara Srishta Dvaitam is not a fact. There is falsehood. There is falsity. Because it is a myth. The Ishwara Srishta Dvaitam is also like a dream. So we say that Ishwara Srishta Dvaitam also is as mithya as a dream. And this external world is real, not absolutely real. Then what will happen if Ishwara Srishta Dvaitam is also not real, which is said, then non-duality will be taken as something belonging to Buddhism, Yogacara, Bauddha Matam. Because the Yogacara Bauddhas definitely strongly hold on to the view that there is no world at all. Yogacara Bauddhas also hold on to the view very strongly that there is no external world at all. See, very careful. Advaitins also say this external world is not absolutely real. It is as though real. Maybe very careful. Advaitins do not say the external world is not, the world is unreal. They do not say the world does not exist at all. Whereas Yogacara Bauddhas say, according to Yogacara Bauddha Matam, there is no external world at all. It is not at all real. It is unreal. Which means, they say, our dream is our mental projection. Because the dream happens to be mental projection, it is not real. Similarly, the external world also is mental projection. Therefore, it is not real. Dream is not real because projected by our own mind. So also the external world, it is also projected by our own mind. Therefore, external world also is not real at all. See, this is very, very, very careful. This is the view of Yogacara Bauddhas. But Advaiti's vision is completely different from Yogacara Bauddha's view. Advaitin's vision is different from Yogacara Bauddha's view. Because Yogacara Bauddha is a Nastikaha. He does not accept Veda Shastram as a Pramanam. He is a Nastika. even though he is a Nastikaha, he does not accept Veda as a Pramanam. And he, in his view, in his school of thought, the understanding is that the dream world is projection of one's own thoughts, mind. Therefore, it is not real. So also the external world also is projection of one's own mind. Therefore, external world also is not at all real. Which means for them it is unreal. Whereas Advaiti does not say the world is unreal. Then what does the world Advaiti say? Advaiti say world is not absolutely real. The world is not absolutely unreal. But it is as though real. The mithya. Don't say the world is not there at all. Only Advaiti says the external world is not responsible for dukkham. There's no question about we do not deny the existence of the external world. We do not deny the Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. We can never undo the Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. The Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam will always be there. We did not undo, we cannot undo the Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. But the thing is, this Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam is not absolutely real. Nor is it unreal. It is as though real. Then what is absolutely real? The source of knowledge. Without the presence of which there cannot be knower, there cannot be the known. That truth alone, the source of the knower and the known, is the truth which is absolutely real, which is non-dual reality. That is what is Nadvaitin's vision. Therefore, this world is mithya. If this, the source of the knower, without the presence of which there cannot be knower, without the presence of which there cannot be the known, the source of knower and the known is non-dual reality, which alone is absolutely real. And this knower non-duality, this world of duality, which is Ishvara Srishtam, is not absolutely real. It is as though real mithya. So dream also is as though real. It is mithya. But the thing is, what causes samsara? What causes samsara is for which this Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam, we do not say it is absolutely unreal. It is mithya, it is as though real. And this Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam is not responsible for samsara. That is what we say. Very, very careful. Okay? So here, Bahya, now let us see the meaning here. What does this, are you all with me? Do you understand what is being said? Is it clear? Is it clear or not? Okay. I had to see your heads being nodded so that I can understand. There's a lot of things. I had gone out of the slow verse. First I talked about Pramanam. After Pramanam, then we have gone to this. What is Yogacara Bauddha's view and what is Advaitin's vision? So, see, this external world of duality, which is Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam, is not absolutely real, nor is it unreal for an Advaiti. For Yogacara Bauddha, it is not at all real. So, there's a possibility of mistaking the Nastika Vada to be Advaita. No. That's what we have to be very clear here. So in this verse, Vijnana Vado Bahyartha Vayarthyat Syat Iha Iti Chet. The objection is raised here. Vayarthyam means having the status of being useless. Vyartha, Vyartham means waste. Being is of no use. Vyartha means waste. Of no use. Vyartham is noun. Vyartha is adjective. Vyartham means uselessness. Vyartha means useless. Vyartha, useless. Vyartham, uselessness. So, Vyartham, Vyarthyat, because of the uselessness of the external world. Bahyartha means external world. Please note, after I discuss everything, I'll repeat again. Bahyartha means external world. Vyartham means uselessness. Vyarthyat, fifth case, because of the uselessness of the external world. Uselessness means what? Because it is of no, it doesn't serve any purpose. Because of the uselessness of the external world, what does it mean? Uselessness means what? The external world does not contribute for our samsara. Then what is the external world? Is just simply there. The external world is not a source of happiness. Nor does it contribute for unhappiness. Nor does it contribute for samsara. Then what does the external world do? Nothing. Therefore, external world is of no use. Bahyartha vayarthyat. It is neither a source of happiness, nor is it responsible for unhappiness, samsara. Therefore, external world is of no use. Bahyartha vayarthyat. So, due to the uselessness of the external world, due to the non-utility of the external world, Vijnanavadaha syat means Vijnanavada Bahyartha Vayartyat syat Vijnanavadaha. Vijnanavadaha, this Yogachara Bauddha Matam. Vijnanavada here is Yogachara Bauddha Matam. Can be, maybe Yogachara Bauddha Matam is Advaitam. Maybe, Syat means maybe. So, Vijnanavadaha Syat means what? This vision of non-duality can be or may be mistaken for Yogachara Bauddha Matam. So, according Advaiti says, what does Advaiti say? The external world is not a source of happiness. External world is not responsible for samsara. Therefore, there's no prayojanam, aprayojanam, nishprayojanam. The world is of no use. And what does Yogacara Bauddha say? The world is mentally projected by our mind like the dream. Therefore, there's no world at all. Therefore, they sound similar. Therefore, he says, it may be mistaken for Yogacara Bauddha Matam. So, this is the objection. Okay? Iti chet. Chet means what? If this Advaitam, the vision of the non-duality of reality, Advaita Darshanam, can be mistaken for Yogachara Bauddha's view. This is the for which the answer has to be given. na hridya karamadhatum bahyasyapekshatat apekshitatvatah. The whole thing is like this. That's all. It's only the whole verse. Presence only an objection. Is it possible to mistake the Advaitam for Yogacara Bauddhamatam? Do they sound alike? Is it the same? No. So the answer has to come. Advaitin's definition of Pramanam slightly differs from the Pramanam, definition of Pramanam of other schools of thought. I already said the Advaitin's definition of Pramanam is what? First of all, Artha Bodhakam. And that a means of knowledge should reveal something. And that something which is revealed should not be revealed by any other means of knowledge. And should not be negated also by other means of knowledge. And here the two aspects are involved in Advaitin's definition of Pramanam. But the other definition of Pramanam of other schools of thought has one more aspect. Not only the object should not be revealed by other means of knowledge. Not only it should not be negated by other means of knowledge. What is revealed by the Pramanam must be of some use. Must be of utility. That is the other person's Pramanam. The usefulness is a third aspect added as a condition for Pramanam by other schools of thought. We understood this very well. I already repeated this. And here, in order to negate this objection, in order to refute this objection, that Advaitam is like Yogacara Bauddhamatam. No. To negate that, to refute that objection. No, Yogacara Bauddha's view is different. Advaitin's vision is different. Advaiti does not say the external world is unreal. But Yogacara Bauddha says the external world is unreal. Advaiti says external world is mithya. Mithya means as though real. But nor does he say the external world is real. But external, we do not use the term, we do not give importance for the usefulness, utility. That is the third aspect is used as a condition for Pramanam by other schools of thought. So here, in order to refute this objection, in order to negate this objection, first Advaiti accepts the other person's definition of Pramanam. First of all, even though it is not acceptable, the definition of Pramanam of other schools of thought is not acceptable for an Advaiti. But still, initially, he accepts the definition of Pramanam of other schools of thought. Why this temporary acceptance? Because we have to accept then to show the fallacy. And is accepting what is non-acceptable. So temporarily accepting what is non-acceptable is said to be அப்யுபேத்யவாதஹ. அப்யுபேத்யவாதஹ, ப்ளீஸ் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட், அப்யுபேத்யவாதஹ, அபி உபேத்ய, அபி உபேத்ய, அப்யுபேத்யவாதஹ. அப்யுபேத்யவாதஹ மீன்ஸ் அக்செப்டிங் சம்திங் டெம்பரரிலி, அக்செப்டிங் தி நான் அக்செப்டபிள் டெம்பரரிலி, அ டெம்பரரி அக்செப்டன்ஸ் ஆஃப் வாட் இஸ் நாட் அக்செப்டபிள் இஸ் கால்ட் அப்யுபேத்யவாதஹ. தி சப்ரயோஜனத்வம், த யூஸ்ஃபுல்னஸ் being taken as an next aspect as a condition for pramanam is not acceptable for an advaiti, but still initially he accepts temporarily. So temporary acceptance of non acceptable factor aspect is called abhyupetyavadaha. If you don't understand what I'm telling, don't worry at all, okay, we'll take care of it. Which means that is why already you must have been exposed to this teaching. If you don't understand, don't worry. I will again go back. I'll teach you what is Yogacara Bauddhamata, Bauddha's view, and what Advaitin's view, and why it is possible for us to mistake view for vision. And we have to see, no, vision is different, view is different. Abhyupetya Vadaha. It's exactly like the children say, if you give me chocolate, then I will write, do the homework. And to make the child write the homework, we don't give the chocolate. Yes, yes, I will give the chocolate. It's not true, isn't it? It's a lie. But it's a lie. Asatyam nabruhyat. We do tell a lie, but the intention behind telling a lie is good. The motive behind the lie is telling a lie is good. Therefore, it is not papam. Otherwise, it's a papam. Telling a lie, no, speaking a lie is a papam. But all the parents have to say, yes, I'll give you chocolate. Somehow, we have to make the child do the homework. Make him go. Okay, let me definitely I'll buy this for you. Go. Which means, it is not at all acceptable. But still, temporarily, we accept. Okay, you are right. If the child is wrong, we say you are right. Temporarily we accept, make him friend, first of all good friend, make him calm down, then you have to make show him how he is wrong. Then I make him accept his fallacy by himself. So make the child accept his problem. You have to accept the child to be right, even though it is not acceptable. It's called abhyupetyavadaha. Okay, accepting the non-acceptable temporarily is called abhyupetyavadaha. So here also, what is the abhyupetya, what is accepted here? Who is accepting? Advaiti accepts. What does he accept? He accepts the definition of pramanam, which is not acceptable for him. Pramanam definition, whose definition he doesn't accept. He does not accept the definition of pramanam. Of other schools of thought. What is the other schools of thought? What is the difference in pramanam of definition of pramanam of other schools of thought? And what is the difference of definition of pramanam of Advaiti? The saprayojanatvam, usefulness of the revealed vastu, the revealed object. The object revealed by the pramanam must be useful, only then pramanam is a pramanam. What is revealed by the means of knowledge is of no use, then the pramanam is not pramanam, according to other schools of thought. So whether what is revealed by the pramanam, whether it's useful or not useful, still pramanam is a pramanam. That is Advaitin's definition of pramanam. he holds on to only two aspects. What is revealed by the pramanam should not be revealed by other means of knowledge. If one means of knowledge reveals something, that should not be revealed by other means of knowledge. And what is revealed by one means of knowledge should not be negated by other means of knowledge. These are the two aspects taken as conditions for pramanam by an Advaiti. Whereas other schools of people, other schools of thought add one more aspect as condition for pramanam, that what is revealed by the means of knowledge must be of some use. If it is not useful at all, what is revealed by the means of knowledge is not at all useful, then means of knowledge should not be considered as means of knowledge. This third aspect, which is a condition for pramanam, is not acceptable for an Advaiti, but still he temporarily accepts that condition. Their pramanam. Called saprayojanatvam. And this accepting what is not acceptable for him is called abhyupetyavadaha. Is it clear or not? Until now it was easy. Now it's a little difficult. Not difficult, you understand easily. Don't worry. So here, is this external world bahya prapanchaha of any use or not? So, what do the Advaitinaha say? What does the Advaitin say? Advaitin does not deny that there is some use of the object. The external world's usefulness is not denied by the Advaiti. At the same time, the Advaiti also reveals this fact confidently, authentically, definitely, the external world is not a source of happiness, nor is it responsible for samsara. Then what is this world for? The world is simply for enjoyment. That is the utility. Advaiti does not say the world is of no use at all. But he does not give importance for this usefulness aspect, utility aspect. Therefore, what does Yogacara Bauddha say? Yogacara Bauddha says, the external world is not at all real because it's a mental projection. Like the dream world. So this is not real at all. So here Yogacara Bauddha Matam and Advaita Darshanam and Yogacara Bauddha Matam. Matam means view, Darshanam means vision. Advaita Darshanam and Yogacara Bauddha Matam should not be mistaken for Yogacara Bauddhamatam should not be mistaken for Advaitam. Let me stop here. Now why? Next class, I understand definitely what you would not have understood today. Where you would have got confused, I know very well. Or if you are not confused, I'm very happy. If at all, I assume where you would have got little gone away. Next class, I'll make it very, very clear. Okay?